Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So roughly 40% of New York City's earth science teachers are not certified in earth science. So in class trips to the American Museum of Natural History don't quite make up for that lack of scientific training. You can also go to the museum for a master's in teaching. The museum has just graduated their first class of earth and space science teachers from a pilot program, and many of them are already in classrooms starting to meet the shortage of science teachers in New York State. Joining me now to talk about the program and its aims is the president of the American Museum of Natural History, Ellen Futter. Dr. Futter, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you had this graduation ceremony yesterday. Who are these new teachers and where will they be teaching?
Well, first of all, it was a spectacular day at the museum yesterday because we had a commencement that was for these 20 Masters in Teaching Earth Science graduates, but also for our first PhDs in Comparative Biology from our Richard Gilder Graduate School. And we are the first and only museum in the United States that's authorized to grant the PhD, and similarly that has a freestanding master's program working with the Board of Regents of New York State, which has funded the program, along with private donors. So it was a big and exciting day. More directly to your question, we have these teachers will be throughout the five boroughs of New York, and they will also be in Yonkers. And just to give you a breakdown on that, there'll be four in Manhattan, four in the Bronx, six in Brooklyn, three in Queens, one in Staten Island, one in Yonkers. So a full court New York press.
How about that? Is that why it's called an urban residency program?
It's part of why it's called an urban residency program. And this program's unlike some others in that it requires those who have received these masters. The training is different, first of all, and I'd be happy to comment on that. But separate from that, it requires them to be in the program and as teachers for 4 years. So we think that's particularly important. It gets a real commitment to the program and to teaching.
You wanted to talk about the training?
Well, I think the training's really unusual. They spend one summer at the museum itself where they're really learning about what does it mean to be in a museum and to see this kind of program. But we also have a faculty that is comprised of museum scientists, that is curators and PhD-level teachers on the science side, together with mining the museum's educational expertise. And we've been doing this for a long time. In fact, the museum, this institution, is rather unusual because we have had from the beginning in our charter a twin mission that was scientific research and discovery on the one hand, and on the other, what was rather quaintly put at that time, popular instruction, but we now understand to mean education. And the evolution of this throughout time over the nearly 150 years of museum history is that our role in education has become increasingly formal to the point now that we actually are offering these degrees. But we're also training teachers in science education more broadly, some 4,000 plus a year, both on site and online. So this is an extensive commitment for us, and we're very devoted to it.
And it's related in some way to President Obama's Race to the Top program, isn't it?
Yes, the funding that the state provided came to the state through the federal Race to the Top program, and then the state made its own very bold decision to look to an institution of this nature, that is not a formal education school, to provide the master's as well as supporting more traditional teacher training programs. And I think actually that's a big component of this, both with respect to the PhD and with respect to the master's in teaching, because really what we have in this country is a crisis in education, but particularly in areas like science, and we need to have new players who can contribute to this. We need new approaches. This museum, while not a formal teacher training institution, on the other hand, very much brings a cadre of resources to this and a cadre of expertise in the form of having collections of 32 million specimens and artifacts, of having one of the largest natural history libraries in the world, having 200 research scientists on staff, educators on staff, and although the actual granting of the PhD by the institution itself, that is the museum itself, is new to us, we've been working with doctoral and postdoctoral students historically with many leading universities, and similarly, while the MA is new to us in teaching, we've been training teachers in ways that have given them enhanced credentials for years and years. So we come to this with experience. We're leaping to a next step, and we think a very important role, working formally with schools and with teachers. And I guess the only other thing I'd really stress with this is that this is really important. It's very important in terms of young people's understanding and preparedness for the workforce. It's important for our country's global competitiveness and even its national security. And we think that these steps are part of our role in training the next generation of scientists, training the next generation of science teachers, and through them and everything that we do here, really training the next generation of scientifically literate populace who are enabled to exercise the franchise in a democratic society thoughtfully.
And which is so important in this day and age. And I think to that end, one of the eligibility requirements for your program is a bachelor's degree in earth science or a related field, as well as additional credits in subjects like chemistry and biology.
That's right.
So are you aiming for people who would not be drawn to teaching otherwise?
We're aiming for people who are committed to teaching well, and committed to young people. And the program's been very interesting because we have some students who come directly out of college, we have some who come after a little gap, and we have some for whom it's a second career at a different stage of life altogether. And I actually think that's fantastic because this is about people who have real interest and capacity coupled with training and commitment.
The American Museum of Natural History is so well known to our listeners as an amazing resource in terms of the specimens and exhibits that you have, but also the scientists. And I think not every city has that. Not even every state has an institution like yours. Is this teacher program replicable around the country, and is that one of your goals?
Well, we're very interested in terms of replicability. It's really a big goal, and we like to create model programs, and we've done it through some other programs as well, which I'll just use as an example. For example, the Urban Advantage Program, which we developed in New York, working with seven other leading scientific institutions in five boroughs, and is now in roughly a third of all New York City across five borough middle schools. That program has been replicated and is now up and running in Denver, for example. Similarly, we have something called a science research mentoring program where we've created a consortium of institutions here that are doing the same thing we are, which is taking young people who are high potential youth, but not necessarily ones who get into the labs and see scientists, and giving them that opportunity to really see how research is done, to be mentored by scientists. So those are both, I think, very clear examples of programs that we've created that are replicable. I think the question as to the replicability of the degree granting program is much more institution by institution. Ours are the only standalone programs where the museum itself is the degree grantor in the case of the MAT, particularly during the pilot years with the Board of Regents. I think that each institution has to figure out its own route. What is replicable, and I think is the most important thing, is the animating spirit to engage the whole community in finding solutions to the problem of science education, science teaching, and a science-literate populace.
Last thing, just for the fun of it, just out of curiosity, we see that besides the teacher training, you've also started offering PhDs in comparative biology. What is comparative biology?
Well, comparative biology, and that's the PhD program I was alluding to, is the essence of what this institution does. And it's really about looking at species across all the range of life, and that includes humanity, by the way, not just dinosaurs and other critters, as we know and love them, but also looking at them across time and across geography, because we gain enormous insights in understanding what are the similarities, what are the differences, even in areas that are so basic to life today and to really the condition of society, that is the environment, human health, the spread of disease, and I could go on. So comparative biology is about all of that and more.
All right. They have just graduated their first class of Earth and Space Science teachers from a pilot program at the American Museum of Natural History. That ceremony was yesterday, and we thank the museum president, Ellen Futter, for coming on and talking about it with us. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, the effects of the government shutdown on the New York, New Jersey area with WNYC business editor Charlie Herman. Stay with us.